Would you please help me thank God for our music ministry, who reminds us of God's faithfulness time and time again. Thank you, media ministry. Thank you, musicians and our orchestra. Just all of you, how you've blessed our hearts. And this is one of my favorite songs, Beth. I saw you. There you are. I thank God for you. Thank all of you for reminding us that we have a King who is accessible. And that no matter what stages you are in, any crisis you face, you can come to the King. Somebody may need to hear that this morning, because life doesn't always set an appointment for us to encounter crisis. But we have a Savior named Jesus, who we can call on at any time, and He is faithful. Did you hear me? He's faithful to respond to us, even as we experience crisis. Our message for the morning is coming from the 13th number of the psalm. The 13th number of the psalm is where we're coming from on this morning, where God has a challenging word for us as we experience transitions in life. I invite you to make your way there. Turn on your Bibles. Turn in your Bibles. Get to a Bible. To the 13th number of the psalm. If you did not bring your Bible, you can look with your neighbor or on the screen. Where are we coming from? Yep, 13 number of Psalms. Just wanted to make sure you're still connected with me, because there is a word from the Lord. The 13th number of the Psalm. It's a challenging word. It's a timely word. It's a word that will help us get through what we're going through. If you made your way there, you'll find words similar to these. David the psalmist is crying out. Crying out, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep and the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice, because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me." The psalmist says, I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. As we continue in our series, Getting Through What You're Going Through, as we look through the stages of crisis that began as Pastor So dealt with strongly in our hearing on last Sunday and challenged us and led us from God's word of how we respond when we find ourselves in shock, now we're going to look at how to respond when we're in that stage of struggle. Remember, our series is covering five stages: shock, struggle, sorrow, surrender, and then service. And on this Sunday morning, God is challenging us to look at how we can successfully navigate the stage of struggle. Because let me help you understand, brothers and sisters, struggle doesn't make an appointment on your calendar. Struggle doesn't ask your permission. Struggle is that stage, that time in our lives where we're trying to make sense of the shock. We began to ask God questions. We have more questions than we have answers. If you're there, if you've been there, then you've had some experience in the struggle. Pray with me. Father, as we enter this time in your word, we ask that you would allow your word to speak ever so clearly to us, that we be challenged even as we go through the struggle, that we may grow and be strengthened as we place our trust in you. So we ask, Father, that you would clear my mind from any distractions, that you would control my tongue from any error, that you would guard my heart from pride, that you might be glorified in all that is said and done, and that we might see you, we might see you on this morning and see you clearly and grow in our faith and trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Young boy was on his way from the playground. He was on the way from the playground, Mike, and he was riding his bike home, but he noticed something as he was about to get on his bike. He saw a strange-looking item. It was, in his mind, a cocoon, but truthfully, scientifically, it was a chrysalis. He saw a chrysalis that had been detached, Dr. Hank, from its branch, and it was blowing in the wind along the playground. He was getting on his bike. And there he was. He grabbed the chrysalis because he remembered in science class that this means that a caterpillar now has gotten through the metamorphic stage, is in the midst of it rather, and it's about to turn into a butterfly, and he's watching this chrysalis being blown and tossed. And so he gets it because he's concerned. He brings it home, and as he brings it home, he rushes into his room and he sets out a habitat for this developing butterfly. Pastor Mike, as he watched the chrysalis move and shake about, he began to notice there was a little pinhole developing where the insect inside was struggling and trying to make its way out. A little boy, in all his curiosity, began to look closer and he could see the movement. Then he noticed the movement was slowing. Almost, Sister Rhonda, to the point that it almost stopped. The young boy then became concerned, and so he took out his trusty scissors because he thought, I got to help this butterfly. It's struggling to get out. And he began to cut the chrysalis open, just ever so delicately, not to injure the insect inside. He thought he had helped Andy because now the insect is free. It no longer has to struggle. And he watched how the caterpillar, almost a butterfly, began to walk around in a circle, and soon it stopped moving altogether. Mike, he thought that by helping it, it would be able to stretch its wings and grow and fly and be beautiful, but that's not what happened. It slowed to a still. Then it died. In agony, he ran to his dad and he said, Daddy, I don't understand. I was only trying to help. To which his father said, it's in the butterfly's struggle that it becomes strong enough to be a butterfly and survive the flight. Come here, I'm just trying to help you understand something. That it's in the struggle, brothers and sisters, that we gain strength. With God, hear me, no matter where you are in the stages of a crisis, if you're moving from shock and now you're in the struggle, with God, we are strengthened while we are going through, while we are enduring the struggle. That's really where the psalmist is. As you hear his lament, as we hear John, his heart poured out to God. Notice the text. He's beginning to turn his attention to God, and there's levied a complaint. How long? How long, God, do I go and not feel your presence? Because in this stage, you'll have some feelings. In the stage of struggle, you'll have feelings of anxiety and feelings of abandonment by God. You'll have feelings of anger where you ask questions. You know those interrogatives like, how could this happen? What am I going to do? Why is this happening to me? Why did it happen to her? Then you turn and you say, why, God? Why is this happening? Have you been there? I know. For some of us, this may really impede upon our sensitivities, because oftentimes we were taught growing up erroneously, but with good advice to a degree, not to question God and not to question what's happening. But do you hear the psalmist in the text? He's in this struggle and he's saying, God, I'm questioning you because I don't feel you. I see everything that's happening around me, and I don't know that you're with me. Listen, if you've ever been in this stage of struggle where you're trying to make sense of what's going on in life, make sense of what you can't make sense of, you're in good company. You're in good Bible country. Because truthfully, Job had the same response when he lost everything in a day. In one day, he lost everything. And there he was asking God where he was. In Job 7 and 11, he says, therefore, I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in my anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Job continued in the 10th chapter, and he says, my life is loathed. I'm in such struggle that I will give free utterance to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. The psalmist, when he was going through a struggle in that 55th number of the psalm, he turns to God and he says, attend to me and answer me. I'm restless in my complaint, and I mourn. There's a song in the church that I grew up in, and the church that I used to pastor that we'd sing so often. It said, I had some good days. I've had some bad days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days. But it says, but when I look back over my life, and I think about all that I've been through, he said, I made up in my mind that I won't complain. Yeah, that's a good song. But I don't know how valid that song is when you're in a stage and it seems like you have more questions than you have answers. Have you ever been there where you believe that God is real and you know and you place your trust in him, but he seems so far away and you're trying to make sense of everything that's happening in this life? That we're in good Bible territory here. For even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at the ninth hour on Calvary's cross, when he cried out, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That place of struggle, that stage of struggle. Mike, when you feel like the psalmist, that God has abandoned you, that he's turned his face from you. When you look at conditions in your life that you can't pinpoint what caused it, and now you're being tossed to and fro, and you're wondering, God, do you even care about what's happening to me? I can look at your faces and see that you have some tenure in time, and that tells me that you've been here before. You've been in a place where you wondered, you questioned. You may have been angry with God about the circumstance and situation you were in. I've been there. I've been there. I remember, Cass, when I watched the news coverage of the flooding in my beloved city. I remember when I watched my area in New Orleans over the helicopter footage, Gentilly being inundated with flood waters. I remember when they said 12 feet was in the area. Then they said 15 feet were in the area. Then for 6 weeks, our homes just sat in flood waters. I remember. I remember that as a pastor, I was shocked initially, and then I was in that struggle phase. But get this. I was a pastor, and I was struggling, but the people I was pastoring called me, and so I had to be pastorly. And I said, let's pray, it's going to be all right. Trust God, it's going to be all right. This is just a stage that we're going through. You're going to be all right. And as the pastor of my own home, and the pastor in my own family, Mike, they were looking to me, and I was strong for everybody. I held up. I held it together. I was there. I had all the answers. I was working three jobs, odd jobs all over the place to make ends meet. I was doing what I had to do to take care of my family, and I was maintaining my faith, and there I was in the struggle, and no one saw a kink in my armor. It took me 17 hours to drive from New Orleans to Houston. And I was strong. Kids say, "Daddy, is this our new place?" I said, "No, son, this is a shelter." And I was strong. We stayed with family members. And I was strong. But then, in the struggle, I was on my way to one of those jobs, and I was driving on Barker Cypress, and I was getting on the feeder going on to 290. Now, hold on, wait, let me help you. Where I come from, we didn't call it feeders. We call it a service road. But nevertheless, there I was. I was making my way, Alice, getting on 290. And Mike, there I broke. It was just me in the car, and I broke. I couldn't even go for it anymore. I pulled on the side of the feeder, and I broke. And I said, "God, where are you? Why would you let this happen to me? I preach a word. I tell others to believe in you, and I'm not feeling you. You're not even talking to me. It's been 6 months, and I'm not hearing from you." I broke. And I learned on the side of the road, on the feeder road of Barker Cypress going on 290, that it was okay to complain to God. Come here, I just want to help you understand something, because if we're going to gain strength in the stage of struggle, we have to understand that it is all right to complain as long as you complain to somebody who can do something that you're complaining about. It's all right to complain to God and be honest with him, because God wants us to talk to him. And we can complain to God about our current crisis. The psalmist is in a complaint and he's saying, "God, where are you? How long?" Listen, brothers and sisters, God is calling us and challenging us that when you find yourself faced with pain, that you can be honest with God about how you feel. That you can give voice to your feelings. Give your feelings a voice, but don't give them a vote. Lament and give vent to how you're feeling, but don't let your feelings dictate your focus. God is open to our complaints, and he wants us to come to him and to pray to him and to be honest with him. And when you're in the struggling phase, be honest with him about how you're feeling, the anger that you're feeling, the anxiety that you're feeling, the abandonment that you're feeling. Listen, you will feel emotions. And in that moment, it's important for you to be honest with God about what you're feeling. Because let me tell you, God can handle your anger. God is a big enough God that when you turn to him, he prefers you turning to him and expressing your emotions than turning away from him. He wants us to come to him. Look at the psalmist. It's in the word of God, y'all. It is the word of God. This is God's word, and God has placed it here for us to understand that it's all right for us to come to him when we're in the struggle and ask those questions that we don't have the answer to. How long will I have to go through this? And it's in that initial inquiry we are beginning to be strengthened while we're going through the struggle. Your struggle may be a loss of a relationship. Struggle for you may be loss of a home, loss of a career, loss of health. Your struggle may be anything that causes you to be rocked off center. And God is available for you to articulate what you're struggling with. We complain to a whole lot of people. I know I'm talking to Christian folk. I'm talking to real people. We complain to a whole lot of people, but if you complain, at least complain to somebody. Can I say it again? Who can do something about what you're complaining for? And so the psalmist teaches us that we gain our strength as we complain to God about our current crisis. But secondly, brothers and sisters, if we are going to gain strength, we need to consult God for clarity and comfort. We need to consult Him. All that we consult, we need to consult the Word of God. Look at the third verse. He says, consider and answer me, O God. He is consulting the Lord. He says, consider and answer me. Give light to my eyes because where I am is in a dark place. Help me see so that my condition, my circumstances, my enemies won't be able to say that my God doesn't care about me. He consults Him for clarity. It's interesting, he says, give light to my eyes. We're mindful of the psalmist who says that his word would be a light until a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Listen, when you're in the struggling phase, consult the word of God. There's a lot of people out there who might want to give us good advice and tell us some good things that may work every now and then, but God's word always works. God's word is always true. God is always faithful to fulfill his word. And when you are struggling and straining and trying to make sense in this phase, make sure you consult the Word of God. Read it. Digest it. Let me give it to you in Twitter form. Self-medicate on the scriptures. Take it in on a regular basis. Let it be the healing salve for your life. You know, this week, Brother Webb, it's been a difficult week. We've lost some loved ones this week. And I was going to visit with her on Sunday. Walked in the room and she had a huge smile on her face. She said, oh, Pastor Avery, she was my first admin. She's a Christian. I walked in there and I saw Christy and we began, and she smiled because she said, it's so good to see you. We began to account of how good God had been. I watched her in her struggling phase, my wife and I. We're there by her bedside, Cass, and we began to talk about God being our shepherd. Saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We went to that spot, Mike, where it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we said it together, I will fear no evil. And then the insight came because where there is a shadow, there has to be light. That God is with me even as I'm going through the struggle. And I'm just here to help you understand something, brothers and sisters. God is with you when you're going through the struggle. And so you can search the scriptures and find the promises. Consult the word of God for clarity. Pray to God. Tell him how you feel, but also tell how you feel about your God. I hope you caught that. That not only should we complain to God about what we're going through, but rather we should turn and compare our complaint to the God that we serve and realize our God is bigger than anything we could ever go through, and we can place our trust in him. Because if we're going to grow strong while we're going through, if we're going to gain strength as we're in the stage of struggle, we need to consult his word for clarity. Growing up, they reminded us like this with his acronym, PUSH, pray until something happens. The psalmist is pushing and praying and saying, God, I need to hear from you. And hear me. When you're in this stage, pray and pray and pray until you hear from him. Because the Bible says, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be open. God says, if you call upon me, I will answer you. And he wants us to pray to him. Oh, but as we grow, as we continue to grow and consult God during our time of struggle. Look at the psalmist's words as you see the progression in the stanzas, where he starts out in a complaint and then he gets caught up in the prayer and said, God, I need to hear from you. Look at the progression as he's getting closer and closer to God. He says then in verse 5, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. He says, I have enough experience with you that I can trust your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. That he thinks back over his life and realizes that everything he has been through, it's only by God's grace that he made it through. So now that he can appropriately put in context what he is going through, to then know that the God who took him through what he made it through is able to take him through what he's going through. I hope you caught that, because every now and then you got to look back, as Grandma was saying, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings and see what the Lord has done. And when you realize that even when you were at your weakest moment, it was the hand of God that carried you. When you're in your stage of struggle, you can realize that it's the hand of God that has been keeping you and can keep and carry you. What am I trying to tell you? Is that if we're going to maintain and grow stronger during the struggle, we must continue with confidence in God's faithfulness. Struggles hurt. There's some pain involved in the struggle. And being with Christ will not inoculate you from crisis, but it will give you a companion who will go with you in the crisis, a companion who cares for you. Peter says this way, Christ said this way, cast your cares upon me, for he cares for you. God cares. And even though it feels like he's abandoned, our faith tells us he will not abandon us, because his word says, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you, says the Lord. David said this way, I've been young and I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. We must have confidence. We must be honest with God about our heart, but be honest with our heart about God and look back over our lives and say, you know what? Even when I wasn't faithful to God, God proved to be faithful to me. Oh, I'm in New Testament country now, because the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, God commended his love toward us, that Christ Jesus died on our behalf. And anytime you're in a struggle, look at Calvary's cross, because there you'll see the receipt that you can make it through any struggle you're going through. When you look at his nail-scarred hands and his nail-scarred feet, and you realize that he's overcome our greatest struggle, we can hear now with confidence Christ saying, you in this world, you will have trouble, you will have persecution, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We have to continue in confidence, because that's where I was, Dr. Hank. I was on the feeder, Texas definition for service rule. It's on the feeder, Barker Cypress in 1960, Scott. And they're broken, couldn't even proceed forward. Just so happened that it was a Sunday as I was on my way. Well, trying to be on my way, but I'm stopped. And I was listening, all of a sudden, a familiar song came on KTSU 90.9 FM. Familiar song that I heard from my childhood. Notice the text. The text says, I will sing to the Lord because he's dealt bountifully with me. A familiar song came on the radio, a song that I used to hear all the time when I was growing up. And all of a sudden, in the midst of my brokenness, in the midst of my struggle, I found myself innately singing a song of familiarity. The Bible says, sing to the Lord. Did you catch that? That means if you're mezzo-soprano, soprano, alto, tenor, tenor one, tenor two, tenor three, bass, baritone, or if you're all of them at the same time, you can still sing to the Lord. And that's where I was on that feeder road. Heard that familiar song, sweetheart. I'm crying to God, asking him where he was. And he came Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And then it got good to me. Got down to that third stanza that said, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. In the stage of struggle, do not give up on God. Do not turn your back on God. Because even if you feel abandoned, it is God who is always there, who is always faithful to his word, that even as you make it through your tears and you're trying to make sense and you don't have all the answers, you can trust that God will carry you so you can continue on through the struggle. Listen, it is in the struggle that we grow. It's in the struggle that we discover strength. It's in the struggle that we get the close encounter of the hand of God. I love that song because then I can look back and say, you know what? It was through many dangers, many toils, many snares. I've already been through some stuff. But it's when I gave up and fell in and surrendered, I realized that I didn't have control, but there was someone who did. He always had control. And he is even God in your crisis. And he will carry you. So trust in him. Believe his word. Pray to him. Don't give up on him. And write down everything he's already done so you can remind yourself that God has dealt bountifully with me. Because even in your brokenness, even in the batter, even in the burden, God is still blessing. Oh, you look like you don't believe me here. God is still blessing you. If I had a younger crowd, I'd say, sweep the dust off your shoulders because God is still blessing you. Don't turn back because God is still blessing you. Because the struggle is real. But guess what? My God is also real too. And he is able to carry you through your stage of struggle. Amen. But you have to believe in him. You have to trust in him. You have to give your life to him. And he's waiting. He's waiting. He says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As our prayer partners begin to make their way to our friendship room, just off to the right, my right, your left, I encourage you that if you're in the midst of a struggle, the spiritual struggle of sin, if you're in a physical struggle, if you're in a financial struggle and you're in need of prayer, we want to pray with you. And if you're facing the greatest struggle, the struggle of living life without the guidance of God, that struggle can end this morning with you giving your life to Him. The Bible says, if you call, He will answer. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, let Him be Lord over your life and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead with all power over everything. The Bible says you'll be saved, eternally saved. You'll be in the family of God, saved even as you're going through what you're going through, because you won't be going through it by yourself. But you have to give it to God.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.